see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. This is a real treat for me because in studio with us today, we have the winner of the 139th All-Class Alumni Reunion. He is the Alumni of the Year, Mr. Jake Moore. He's a 1964 graduate of Hastings High School, and we are so happy for him in this nice award, but just so happy to see you. How have you been?
Real good.
So are you still flying high from this award?
I am, because people continue to come up and congratulate me, and and they saw it all on Facebook, and so it really surprised me. Yeah.
So I'm going to try really hard to call you Jake, but to me, you will always be Mr. Moore, my social studies teacher.
I taught 8th grade history, and it was a survey course. So we started at the beginning, and I went as far as we could back in those days, and I got to Watergate and Vietnam, things like that. So yeah. Yeah.
So the rest of it was up to me to stay current with history.
I hope you saved your notes. You can always look back.
Well, let's go back to you. And I got to say, you are such a beloved person. Do you know this? You are one of those people that stand out in kids' minds. And I think people forget how important teachers, coaches, anybody that really impacts kids. I know you took it real seriously when you were a teacher.
I sure did. And the thing is, I love teaching and I love the coaching, and I really look forward to going to school every single day. I can't remember a day getting up and saying, nuts, I got to go to school today. I mean, and it was because of the kids. I had so much fun with the kids.
Well, the kids loved you back. So let's go back to you, 1964. So did you start school in Hastings?
I sure did. I started back in I went to Guardian Angels.
Oh, of course you did.
And my dad went to Guardian Angels.
The Irish school.
That's
yes.
Right. We call it the Catholic one. And then St. Boniface was the other one.
Exactly.
But my dad went there, and I went there, and then my two sons went there, and now when they became C's, they switched together. And then I've had my granddaughters have gone there too, so we've had four generations.
That's
there,
pretty impressive. Yeah. So as a kid, what were you like?
You had to behave around the neighborhood, first of all. And one of the reasons why is because I remember in third grade, the nun said, how many of your mothers work? And I was one, and there was another kid in my class. There was only two of us that raised our hand.
You know, that's impressive back in the day that your mom was working.
Yeah, she was a nurse. And I don't know what the other boys, what his mother did. So everybody else was at home. So if you were in the neighborhood playing or whatever, you had to watch yourself. Otherwise, you'd hear, I'm going to tell your mommy. I'm going to tell your mother. So we had to behave.
So you had like 30 mothers.
Yes, we did. My parents backed the school. So, I mean, if I did something wrong in school, and sometimes I did it just to see what would happen, to see if I could take the punishment or whatever, you never went home and complained or talked about it because they were always on the side of the school.
So that's a shift. That's a whole other radio show that we could do sometime. But I agree. You know, both of my parents were in education. And so I agree that the school was always right. You didn't badmouth teachers. And if you got in trouble at school, there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think.
That's right. And you just accepted your punishment. That was it. And that's what we did back in those days.
So what was it like growing up in Hastings?
Oh, geez. Well, one of my earliest memories was going across a spiral bridge. And I can remember the planks making noise as it went across it. And I remember looking down at the bottom of the spiral bridge. There was a park. It was called Malloy Park. And I always asked my mom, can we go down there? I thought it looked so nice. And she said, yep. Well, they tore the bridge down and got rid of the park before I had a chance to visit it. But in the long run, Olaf Nielsen moved to Hastings, and he started Malloy Park Florist.
Yes, he did.
Right down there where the park was. And I was a delivery boy for him for 3 years.
Come on.
Yeah. So that's how that was.
I think Leslie is still looking for delivery people if you're so inclined in retirement.
One of my former football players delivers for her now, so yeah. And I do see her, and I taught her when she was an eighth grader, too.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
So what are some other fun memories?
I remember we didn't have a swimming pool growing up, and so we met at Wilson Park, and for a dime, you could get on the school bus in the afternoon and go over to St. Croix, the Minnesota side. We called it Blockers, the Blockers Beach, and we were there for the afternoon, and then it would bring us back and drop us off at Wilson Park. And one day, I was coming back from Wilson Park, and the bus was stopped at 4th and Vermilion for a long time and didn't take a right-hand turn. I was going, what's going on? I was talking to some other kids on the bus, and I finally looked up, and lo and behold, there was a light, a red light right in front of us, and that was our first stoplight in Hastings. And you couldn't take a right in those days on red. You had to wait for the light to change, and then we took a right, and we went to the park. And
so that was the first stoplight in Hastings?
That was the first stoplight on 4th and Vermilion, because Guardian Angel School was right down there. There's a lot of people that lived up on 4th and 5th, and that was a safe way to place to cross, too, because there was a lot of traffic. So, and we had crossing guards. Kids would hold out the flags as well, too. And then once you couldn't ride the bus over, we went to the pool. And if you still wanted to go to the beach, we used a mode of transportation that's kind of frowned upon.
Uh-oh, what's that?
We hitchhiked.
Oh, dear.
And we stood on stood on the bridge, and we just stuck our thumb out, and a car would come over and pull over. We'd jump in the car. They'd take us all the way over if they were going to the beach, or they'd drop us off at the top of Hollywood Hill. And from there, we'd just catch a ride over to Blockers Beach. And, I mean, that was very prominent hitchhiking. And I remember even when I went to St. John's, I had a suitcase, and on one side it said Hastings, and on the other side it said St. John's. And I hitchhiked back and forth to school that way, too. And
okay, that's just crazy. Think about how times have changed.
Yeah. Well, here's another one. I was a third grader, and the Fuller Brush magazine guy came around the house, and he asked me if I wanted to work for him.
In third grade, you showed this sort of potential?
I was just sitting with my mouth wide open.
That's very impressive.
And I said, well, what do I got to do? And so I'm a third grader, 9 years old, and I went door to door handing out Fuller Brush magazines, and then he would come around the next day, and I'd maybe go down all the way 4th Street, maybe into Cowtown or down 2nd Street, back up, and then he would come around the next day, and the housewives were at home, and then they would mark off what they wanted to buy from him, and then he would gather the magazines, and he would sell the products, deliver the products that they checked off. So, and the thing is, everybody walked to school in those days. There was no in-town busing. So when I was in kindergarten, I walked 9 blocks up to the school that we tore down, Old Central. But there was always neighborhood kids walking, too. So it was safe. And once again, the mothers were all at home, and they were watching. So it was safe at that time. As long as I went to school, we had an hour for lunch. And you could leave
an hour.
We had an hour for lunch. You could go home, or you could stay there, or you could go downtown and eat lunch, or you could go wherever you wanted, but you'd be back in an hour. So I'm in the fourth grade, and a friend of mine went home to lunch, and he didn't come back. And the bell rang, and this is at Guardian Angel, so we went up, and we get in the classroom, and we're about an hour or so into the class. My teacher was Mrs. Yans, who was Larry Yans' mom. Larry Yans from the
Beer Stube.
Yeah, and she was a great teacher. And all of a sudden, the door opens up, and in comes my friend, and she looks over at him and says, "Where were you?" And he said, "Don Larson just pitched a perfect game in the World Series." And she looked at him and said, "Take your seat." And
that was it.
There was go see the principal. You got detention. No Amber Alert. Take your seat. And that's because the World Series was played in the afternoon in those days.
Because no lights or something.
Well, they had lights, but they started, I think TV kind of controlled it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Then in 1971, they had the first, I think it was 71 was the first World Series. That game was played at night. But he went home. And his mom let him stay home and watch a perfect game. It was history.
Right.
It's never been done since that either.
Take your seat.
I can remember when Tilden was a one-room schoolhouse, first, second, and third grade.
The Tilden where it is now?
Yep. It was a one-room schoolhouse up there. And then after that, you transfer. My dad went to, they had an elementary school in Cowtown, I think it was called Irving School, and he went there first, second, and third grade, and then transferred up to Guardian Angels.
Okay.
One time in Hastings, there was 4 passenger trains that stopped here each day, 2 going east and 2 going west. And then at one time, we didn't have any big grocery stores in town, and we had, just on 2nd Street, there was 4 mom-and-pop grocery stores on 2nd Street.
Reisner's,
Hetherington's.
Don't remember that.
Yeah. Hanson Brothers.
Okay.
And Fleming. And then if you went down across the tracks, Nellie Riches and then the East Side Market. So we had 6 grocery stores right there on 2nd Street.
Wow.
But we had another 8 scattered all over town. Different ones like Truax, and Harlan King had one on 6th Street, Marie Illigan. There was one up by the swimming pool. I don't remember the name of it.
The Little Store, they called it.
Yeah. So Lindstedt's was over on, Ramsey Street. There was a total of 14 of them. Market, 61 Market.
Yeah,
they were all over. So, and then the thing that kind of ended it was when National Tea came to town. It's where Comfort Design is today.
Yes.
And so then the stores started closing down after that.
Worth's Foods, right across the street.
Johnny, absolutely. And right across Kitty Corner from Guardian Angels Playground. So we were over there all the time.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah. You could leave school like that and just go.
If they didn't catch you. Yeah. Well, and get back in time.
I didn't realize you were such a hooligan.
Well, we needed gum, didn't we?
We sure
we had to go get gum.
No wonder you were so soft on crime when you were a teacher.
Usually there was a nun on the playground watching us, you know, but she didn't see everything.
I thought they had eyes in the back of their head.
And they did. They weren't out there right away once lunch. We ran then came back, so
sure.
We were in place by the time she got it.
And
got
you,
on
of
duty.
Course, had your money from your Fuller Brush job.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you had some loaded. Jingle. You were
Here's another interesting thing is I remember Smeed's was downtown at one time, right where the Hastings Family Services in that city block right there. And then all the kid hangouts were downtown. There was Oliver's Corner Drug, Sieben's Drug, the Twin Kiss, the Sweet Spot, and everybody hung out downtown. And then what else was really important to us was the original Armory was on 3rd and Sibley downtown. And that's where roller skating was. Mm. That's where all the dances were. And we had a lot of local bands that would play the dances. And Lord Byron and the Poets and Gigs and the Branded Men and Rockin' Rogers and all those guys. Yeah, I remember on 4th Street, they closed it off for just local cars only. It lived, you know, right on that street. And so you could slide down. It was closed off for sliding in the winter. That was about 1955 and 56.
How fun.
And then I remember Soapbox Derby, too. They had that in Hastings, but then they had a real bad crash 1 year, and that was the end of of those. So Wilson Park was a center of activity.
It was?
Yes, it was. Okay. And the reason why they played fast-pitch softball there and saw that Bob McNamara and Pinky McNamara played for teams down there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our Little League Baseball was played right there. In the winter, it was flooded, and there's a big skating rink, and there was also a hockey rink. So that was really the center of activity back then. And during summer, when there was softball games, Bud Zine would bring his popcorn wagon down, and you could get snacks at the softball games. But I remember, as soon as you got off the bridge on the right hand side, right there on 3rd Street, Johnny Gardell had a gas station, and that's where my dad got his gas. And I can remember gas being 29 cents, and you didn't pump your own gas. Johnny Gardell came out, and he washed your windshields on the outside. He checked your oil, pumped your gas, and my dad would get about $2 worth of gas. And we'd be gone then.
That's something. 29th,
yeah.
Wow.
One other job I had, I was, going into this, after I'd done with 6th grade, going into the 7th grade, I worked for Mike Gagan on a milk truck. And we went door to door delivering milk. And people would put out their orders, what they wanted. And then I would run back and forth from the truck. And Mike was 19 at the time, and he was my boss. So that's another way I got to know the town really well.
I bet.
And then 1965, the flood, of course. I came home from St. John's. It was Easter vacation, and I worked for the railroad a couple summers. So I had a job sandbagging, filling bags full of sand so that they could save the tracks across the river so it didn't wash away the tracks and the sand and all that stuff. And my wife, I picked up the morning paper up at St. John's, and she was in it. Her family was on 19th and Maple, and it was all flooded there, and the National Guard came in with a truck and picked her family up. They couldn't get out and picked her up, and then they spent some time in one of the churches for a while until water receded. So, yeah, good memories. How about an introduction to my high school years? So they didn't have orientation in those days. So 9th grade, first day, you showed up at school. Again, this is a school that they tore down there on Vermilion Street. And I walk into the auditorium, and my whole 9th grade, they're sitting in the bleachers. And then a teacher would come out and read your name off, and then you would go with them, and that was your homeroom. You would leave. And then another one, and another one, and another one. And then all of a sudden, everybody was gone except one kid sitting in the bleachers. And they said, what's your name? They yelled up to me, and I said, Jake Moore. Yeah, we don't have you here. So I said, well, I went to Guardian Angels last year. So anyway, they missed me somehow. So they called me down. They sent me to an English class. And then at the end of the hour, the intercom went on. Would Jake Moore please come to the office? There's your first announcement of the whole year.
Oh, dear.
So every senior I know, every junior I know, everybody here, I'm walking down the hall and everybody's yelling, oh, Jake Moore, come to the office. Oh, geez. But I went down there because they were going to give me my schedule. And they gave me my schedule and they said, well, unfortunately, all the lockers, we gave them away to the ninth grade. So there's one right here. And if you remember the auditorium, it came up those steps right in the main hall.
Of course.
Well, right across them, there's a whole bank of lockers there and they're all junior girls. And that's where my locker was. Boy, did I love that.
And the rest is history.
Oh, they were great. They found out my birthday, and they put a birthday cake in my locker in February. So then we still had an hour for lunch. I didn't go home then, so I ate lunch. And then what they did for a while was they had a dance in the gym for a half an hour. So they'd play records, and you could go dance until a senior caught a junior dancing with his sophomore girlfriend.
Oh, dear.
And he went up and punched him. He broke his jaw, and that was the end of dances. No more dances during lunch. Yeah, that was it. And then my senior year, I was a co-captain with Roger Foster, and Bobby Cryer was our homecoming queen. They had coronation in the gym up on that stage. And then we were done. They had a number of convertibles out front, and so we went right out by the cafeteria there, got in the convertibles, and they had a parade. And what we did, we went right down 10th Street, and we took a left and went down Tyler all the way to downtown 2nd Street. Then we took a left on 2nd. And back then, you know, that's where all the action was. Everything was down there. This is 1964. And everybody was out on the sidewalks and waving and this
How
stuff.
Fun.
And we went right up 2nd Street, took a left on Eddy Street, went to Todd Field. And back then you could drive all the way around Todd Field. So we went down and went on the track. And then they had a short pep fest after that. So that was a great tradition that they had at one time that included the city. Because
the whole town,
They could get out and see who, because they didn't know who Queen was, and because it was announced at that time and
crowned
at that time. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm in room 401, okay? First of all, I'm sitting in a huge study hall, and one of my classmates comes in from the library and looks at me and says, President Kennedy's been shot.
Oh.
And I said, what? And Bob Stoneberg was a teacher. And he looked at me and he says, get upstairs and tell Martin Hansen to turn the radio on. So I went up there. I walked in. I said, Mr. Stoneberg wants you to turn the radio on. And then the bell rang. So everybody changed classes. Everybody. So I got up to room 401 up on the top floor. And all of a sudden, there was a click on the radio. There was kind of a pause. And then Walter Cronkite came on and said, President Kennedy is dead. And I remember I looked out the window, and there was a custodian who was already lowering the flag. And, of course, the girls are crying. It was just terrible. Well, fast forward 18 years later, I'm in that room teaching, in that very same room.
No.
All of a sudden, the loudspeaker clicks on again. There's a pause, and it said, President Reagan has been shot. That was 1981. And I thought, what a coincidence. I'm in the same room when I hear that this happened. Yeah, so.
We are going to take a little break and come back with part two of our conversation with Mr. Jake Moore, who is the 2022 Alumni of the Year for the Hastings Alumni Association. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by.